We're Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. And I'm going to remind you that it's important for you to get a bulletin, because I don't have one. Could somebody grab me a bulletin from back there, please? All right, perfect. Yesterday, we realized just how important the bulletins were, because we were at the church picnic yesterday. And some of you might say, there was a church picnic yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was in the bulletin, too. And I'm so thankful for those who were able to come. We really had a good time together. But it was kind of funny, because we were all there talking about the times, and none of us had a bulletin, and we were trying to remember exactly what time it was supposed to start and end. So the bulletin does play a pretty important role. So we're really thankful for having the bulletin. And I will give you a quick date. Coming up next Saturday, August the 26th, Bobby and Lisa are going to be getting married here at 2 p.m., so I want you all to know about that. You're all invited, and so there's also going to be a reception downstairs after the wedding, and so we're really thankful about that. So we're going to be coming to you from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 28 today, and it's just such an amazing doctrine that we're going to be talking about, and it's the doctrine of inheritance. And so I'm going to have, earthly goods or things of my life to pass on to my children after I die. And does anybody know how many children I have? 7? 9? We lose count. So 9 was the right answer. But you start splitting things up 9 ways, you can see that there's probably not going to be a lot to hand out. But nonetheless, they don't get it till after I die. And so anyway, we've actually gone to the job of writing up a last will and testament. How many of you guys have one of those? Not a whole bunch. Be a good idea for you to go ahead and have one of those written up. Because what winds up happening is a lot of confusion afterwards if they don't really know exactly how to, what's going to who, how that all works out, and things of that nature. My wife and I were going to be doing a mission trip down to Mexico, and we were both going to be on the same airplane together. Nothing against commercial airliners. I know almost every time they land safely. But, we were thinking, if we go on this mission trip and something happened to both of us at the same time, what would happen to our children? And so we really started thinking about that inheritance, of passing it on correctly so that it would go to the right place and help take care of the best needs. God himself has explained to us what our inheritance is. It's really, when you think about how profound that is, he wrote it down. He sealed it in his book. Some people think the Bible is boring, but my goodness, the Bible is an amazing, amazing document that has been handed down to us with such continuity over 40 different authors and more than 2,000 years of writing, and it is just an incredible work of art, and it has authority. It's because of this document that we know that when we die, we're going to gain the inheritance that Christ died to give us. Isn't that an incredible thought? And the awesome part is, when you become a Christian, you don't even have to wait to die to begin to get part of it. The Holy Spirit is that guarantee that you're going to get the rest of it. This is just an incredible thing, there's nothing in this world that is any greater in magnitude than what Christ has done for us. So I pray that as you worship today and as we look at God's word, that you'll just glory in his presence and be thankful for what he's done for us, what he's given us, and that he was willing to die so we could have it. How incredible. And the best part is, we've got way greater than the Super Bowl, because on the third day he rose again. Amen. People get in stadiums and they spend literally millions and millions of dollars combined so that they can cheer along, you know, a sports team or something like that. Man, we have got something to cheer about here today. Amen? We are blessed people. So let's read Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 16. If you don't mind and you're able to, could you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? I'm reading from the New King James Version. You may be using other versions in our congregation. So the wording, you know, can be a little bit different according to what word that they might use, but the meaning the same. So starting at verse 16, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. And when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you.' Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy, most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to have had to suffer once or often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ also offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these verses, we understand this is huge. We look back at the Old Testament, we can see how for many years they did these sacrifices in faith, thinking many times that it was the blood of the animal that could take away their sin or do something about it. But what we understand is that was just a copy of something that was going to come. It was a foreshadow to Christ. It can only do something on the outside, as we talked about before, but you are able to cleanse the inside. And so, Lord, we are thankful that you didn't just go into a copy of the reality, but you went straight into heaven and you are there right now making intercession for us. You are our mediator of this new covenant. That means a mediator goes between the one who needs to be reconciled and the one who is above all. Thank you, Lord, for your atonement on the cross. Thank you that this death that you died unlocked our inheritance. We can't fully receive every part of it yet, but it's all available to us. And we have received the guarantee through the Holy Spirit of the whole package. It's as good as done. It is, as you said on the cross, it is finished. There's nothing else that needs to be done, and anybody that goes back to the old law to try to prove that they're worthy of salvation actually insults what you did on the cross. You said in the garden, "Lord Jesus, if there's any other way, let this cup pass by me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." You prayed that three times. If there would have been another way, if we could have saved ourselves through the law, if there's any other way, that cup would have passed by our Lord Jesus. But we know Jesus is the only way. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us that. Thank you for unlocking and securing this wonderful inheritance by your death. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's unpack this just a little bit more. I mean, there's so much here. This is a rich, full meal. Only the eternal one can give us eternal life. Amen? It's going to take one that's eternal to give you an eternal gift. I can give you a gift. I can give you, you know, my word. I will even keep it sometimes. But not always, and not for eternity. I can't say forever about anything really in my life except for that which belongs to God. He's the eternal one. And it's only if my heart is sealed in Christ can I have eternal life, because only the eternal one can give us eternal life as an inheritance. Only he owns eternal life. Amen? We can speak of eternal life. We can receive eternal life. And now I am a partaker of eternal life. But I don't actually own it myself to give it away to anybody else. Only the eternal one can do that. And as we see, even Peter expressed this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. Who could give us this? Only God himself. And you see, it comes through that resurrection, but before that resurrection, there had to be a cross. There had to be a death. Amen? And so this inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, your last will and testament is in effect after you die. No one, that doesn't happen. I mean, it's there and it's written. That next slide. And yet, you know, there has to be the death of the one that it pertains to. And so therefore, Jesus died for us. He had to, for that to be unleashed, released. How many of you guys have ever struggled, you know, at least in your coming to Christ, with that thought that, why did Jesus have to die? Isn't that just like the most sad? It had to be the darkest hour ever in all of history. In fact, we know it was, because it was dark for like 3 hours, right? While he hung on the cross, there was this darkness that just came over the whole earth. And so why couldn't that just be avoided? I don't know, but I struggled with that thought a lot. Whenever I came to the Lord, why couldn't that be avoided? I'll tell you why. Because that last will and testament could not be opened up unless that one who owned it and it was about had died. He's the only one who could give it to us. And so by necessity, there had to be the death of the testator. You see, bulls and goats, in the next slide, they don't have an inheritance to give us, do they? Can a bull and a goat give you eternal life? Do they even own eternal life to be able to give it to you? No, they couldn't. And so their blood being spilled, their blood being taken from them, really could not actually give you eternal life, ever. It was always just a copy and a shadow of that which would come. And, you know, a lot of people in the Old Testament, you know, during that time, they understood this. They were looking forward to their Messiah coming. They didn't know exactly what it would all look like, but the pieces of the puzzle were all right there in the Old Testament. And, in fact, whenever the Magi came from the east and they were wondering when that star had been, you know, they'd seen the star and they were following it and they were wondering when that king should be born, they went and asked the scribes, and the scribes knew where he should be born. They told him, without any doubt, Bethlehem, you just need to go over there. And yet they didn't go. They sent others to go. They knew that there was some evidence that a king had been born, and yet they didn't take the time to go. You know what? For you to receive this inheritance, you actually have to go to receive it. Isn't that an amazing thing? Prompted by God, you must. Such an amazing thing, but I can tell you, going back to the old way of just trying to give your penance to God and hoping that will cleanse you of any guilt and sin is a foolish thought. In fact, it's an insult to the death of Christ. Whenever we think that way, because just like the goats didn't have an inheritance to give us, the bulls didn't have an inheritance, the sheep didn't have an inheritance to give us, the only one who had an inheritance to give us was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, Jesus himself. You see, their blood was only a foreshadow, and that shows us that in Hebrews 9, 19 through 20, the blood of the animals in the old covenant, in that next slide, would only point to Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood was the only blood that would truly be effective. It was all just a foreshadow to that. In Hebrews 9, 21 through 22, it says, then likewise, he sprinkled, this being those of the Old Testament, that Moses sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry and Aaron and the priest. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And that was animals just doing it in a foreshadow. And by faith, God was recognizing that, but always looking forward to the blood of Jesus. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin without the blood of Christ. We have to recognize and be covered in the blood of Christ. That in just as in the day of Passover, the home which the doorpost had the blood of the lamb painted on, the death angel passed over that house, so Jesus' blood must be upon your heart when God looks at you. Because we are sinners, and the only thing that we can do about our sin is to recognize it, own it, repent of it, and turn it over to Christ and leave it at the foot of the cross. It's his blood that is the cause for forgiveness. You see, it would take one better than animal sacrifice. Wouldn't we all agree with that? It's going to take one better than an animal to be able to save me. And that's what it says in verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven, in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, that was going to take a better sacrifice. That better sacrifice is Christ and only him. You see, the copies in the next slide aren't effective like the original. I can make all the copies of the $1,000 bills that are out there, right? I could take them back there and put them on a photocopier. And they'd look really convincing. Go take one to the bank and try to put it in your account. See what happens. It's not very effective. You see, only that original can really be effective. And that original is Christ. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. He didn't enter those temporary places, right? That copy, those are copies of the true, but he went into heaven itself. Isn't that incredible? Could anyone else have gone? Absolutely not. Only Christ. Only Christ. And you know what? He didn't have to do it often either, did he? How many times did Jesus do it? Totally effective one time. One time. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. But you see, he only had to do it once because he only could do it once. How many times could Jesus die? Once. You know, I've been hearing a lot of false teachings that are going around that And it, you know, it's just ridiculous when you hear things like this. And I heard one the other day. This man boldly stood up and during an interview, and he said, somebody asked him about the second coming of Christ, and he said, if he comes again, we'll just kill him again. Well, that man grossly misunderstands the power of our Lord and Savior, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a very foolish individual, because I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes back, you need to read the end of the book and see what it looks like. King of kings and Lord of lords. He doesn't come in riding on a donkey. He comes in riding on a great white horse. He comes back to conquer the enemy once and for all, and he has a purpose in all of this. You see, he only had to die once. In fact, he could only die. Because on the third day he rose again, never to die again. In fact, to come back again as a conquering king. You see, that one time was all it took. And he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That one time. You see, just like Christ died once, so we only die once with one life to accept Christ as well. You know, there's another false teaching out there that there's many, many go-rounds. Have you ever heard of that? You know, what do they call it? Can anybody tell me? Reincarnation. Yeah. You know, some people take this one real serious, too. I knew a guy that owned a dog, and he swore up and down that that dog was his belated life of his grandmother. Isn't that sad? I mean, like the dog, don't get me wrong. But you know what? The Bible is very clear. We're only going to die once. Hold up your finger. You get one life. And at the end of that one life, you're going to stand before one God. And you got one chance. And all of it decided in this life. You see, as it is appointed for man to die once, but after that, after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. His second coming. We can't wait. If you're a Christian, you're looking forward to it, amen? Let's pray for those who don't know him yet. If today was your judgment day, how would it go for you? You know, a lot of people think there's a lot of shades in here. There's even a whole denominational structure that would tell you that if you don't make it this time, you might go to this little holding place and may eventually could be prayed out by others and things of that nature. I can tell you there is zero biblical evidence for that place called purgatory. Zero. So do not put your hope in that. You get one opportunity, and if God's prompting your heart, you need to surrender to him. And it's going to be the decision between whether or not you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And basically, it just comes down to this one question: is Jesus your Lord? Yes, that word means king. We may not understand king very well, so I would suggest we start learning how to understand king real well. Amen? King means he's the boss. His orders aren't questioned. We may have a hard time following. When we find out we haven't, it's cause for repentance. But arguing with God or telling him no or telling him later is not conducive with the word Lord. You see, heaven or hell is decided by whether or not Jesus is your Lord. Do you have that inheritance that Christ died to give you? And I pray that you do. If you don't, and God's prompting your heart, do something about it today. Just repent and give your life to Christ. I pray that you will obey God today. Don't hope or wait for tomorrow, because you don't know if you'll have it. Amen? We only know we have this moment right now. And you know what? There's no second chances at this moment right now either. Have you noticed that? Your time is the only thing you don't get to live again. Well, we're driven by time, aren't we? Take it seriously, and let's not fritter it away, because we only get one chance. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, as we have a little time of invitation here, I pray that each one of us would just be obedient to whatever you say. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts and help us to to say yes, whatever it may be. Thank you for the baptism today, done in obedience to you. I believe there's others in our congregation that believe that have not yet been baptized, and they probably need to step forward when it comes time, when you've given them that prompting, help them not to put you off. Baptism don't save us, but the Bible says it is to have a clear conscience with you, in that we're living obedient with you. We're taking that really logical first step of obedience there. Father, I pray that whatever it may be, there may be a secret sin in our life that nobody else knows about, and that we need to surrender to you. If we're really going to call you Lord, then we've got to be willing. We may have to surrender it again tomorrow, too. If we continue to slip up in the same area, we need to never give up that battle against it and just keep giving it back to you and saying, God, help me with this. God, help rescue me fully from it. Help us to be surrendered in every area of our life, that we would not be prideful and think that we can do any of it in the flesh. Lord, help us to surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen.